Grace be unto you, and mercy and peace from God our Father, and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear fellow redeemed, what kind of words do you think you need? You know, all of us think in terms of there are things we need to hear. From those whom we love, we need to hear, I love you. We need to hear certain things in order to encourage and strengthen and lift us up. For a lot of people, those words are things like, the stock market's up, unemployment's down, we have more and better cures for cancer, you get a raise, you just won a new car, health care is covered for everybody, hold that dental too, Uncle Sam writes you a check instead of you writing him one, and somebody else pays. We all get a three-day weekend and one mandatory family day off per month. And teenagers, you get an allowance for electronics and fashion. Sound good? We listen to the news today, and it sometimes seems that it's those kinds of words that convey the hopes and aspirations of our whole generation. It's like we've got a hold of a pretty good life, and our greatest fear is that we don't get more of it, and even worse, that someone would take it away. What we're talking about there is affluence, pretty much having what you want. What words do you need in order to make you calm? In order to make you untroubled in your life? Would it be that nobody needs your help? You just don't have to bother with anybody else. You don't have any responsibilities. Those kids, they'll just take care of themselves. You don't have to give any account before the judgment seat of God. And, you know, things that are going on in the world, they're all private. You know, over a million unborn a year are killed. That's not us to worry about. We're not our brother's keeper. The public advocacy of soul-destroying, family-destroying vices, no. That's somebody else's problem. We cannot be expected to know the truth, and even if we do, we can't be expected to act upon it. No, what we want is to be left alone. No responsibilities, personal peace. And in many ways, these are the values of our society that we embrace, that we also are tempted as Christians to embrace the values of affluence and personal peace. And you can call this materialism if you want, or you can call it worry. The fact is that from time to time, we all fall into it. I just want what I want, and I don't want to be bothered. But our Savior talks to us about this. And he says in Luke 12, don't strive for what you should eat and what you should drink, and don't be anxious, for the Gentile world eagerly seeks all these things, and your Father knows you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be provided for you. Putting it another way, Jesus is telling us that even though we may not, he has our priorities straight. I'm talking about the really important stuff here. That's all I talk about. My calling is not to be a self-help preacher. My calling is not to make sure you go out of here on an emotional high. I'm not supposed to be a mood elevator and tell you where the most fun and the biggest thrill can be found. What I have to say to you is that which God Himself has given to us in His Word. Jesus came to save you from far more than the trivial disappointments of life. Material concerns, though they are important, remember, your Father knows you need them. Okay, He knows that. But these material concerns so often distract from our true and greater needs. It's for these true and greater needs that Christ gives us words of truth that can't be found except in His revelation. He gives us words of truth that finally do away with the real sadness that burdens our hearts. And He starts with some truly needed words, words that, okay, we need to hear. And in these last days of the church here, we especially turn our hearts and minds to the last days of the world and the final coming of Christ and the last days of our life, which could even be today. The fact is that He doesn't want us to grow sleepy or complacent so that we're caught in unbelief when He comes again. The signs that Christ gave us about the end times have in fact come to pass. He said there would be wars, and talking about wars in the world, there are wars in the world, and there is talk of war. He said there would be cataclysms in the earth, and there are storms, and there are earthquakes, and there are tidal waves, and there are famines, and they have taken the toll of thousands upon thousands. He said there would be signs in the heavens. And, you know, we talk about near misses by asteroids. My favorite was when the comet hit the planet Jupiter. And as it hit the planet Jupiter, remember, there was this huge ball of fire. And as I said at the time, you know, this could be you. This could be us. So there have been signs in the heavens. He said there would be a great falling away, and there has been a great falling away from the faith, and false prophets are quick to lead people astray. He said the hearts of many would be full of fear, and they are full of fear for all the things that have happened to the human race. Now, we know then that this is serious. The end could be upon us at any time, and we need to be ready. But now realize that you're in the middle of a war. And how does it go when armies are in conflict? The general of one army tries to get the commander of the other army to worry about something that he doesn't need to worry about, so that this general can hit him when he doesn't know it, when he doesn't expect it. Our old enemy, the devil, would rather that you and I are worried about whether the operating system for the new Apple phone is going to work right, or whether we get an Apple or an Android, and that old phone that I have is too old, or that car that I have is too old, or the house that I'm in needs painting, or I need something else to wear. I've worn this 5 times already. You can go on down the line. He wants us to worry about trivial things while he attacks and destroys the souls of human beings. The most important things of our day are not affluence and personal peace. The most important thing in your life is the question of how we and all people will be able to stand and face God. For these are the last times for every one of us. So, to the words that we need. They're not Here is the way to guarantee an annual income. Yes, your Lord knows you need an annual income. The most important words aren't, do this for retirement, or here is the best plan for health care. Again, the Lord knows you need these things. Those who promise to care for us from the cradle to the grave really are false gods. We're not to follow after them because they really can't take care of us. Even if they could take care of us from the cradle to the grave, what about after? Stay away from them. Their words are not true. They cannot guarantee life. And so the words that we need to hear are, we need to be ready. But there are also words that tell us how, and these are words of hope. The words that we most need to hear are the words that take away sin and kill death and give life. Because sin and death are the enemies over which we have no power. They are the enemies over which Christ alone has power and over which he has already won the victory. So let's go back to when this text was written to the Greek Macedonian city of Thessalonica. They had written to Paul, and you know, when Paul answers questions, you sometimes wonder, what was the question they asked? You kind of tell from the answer. We call that mirror reading. Evidently, they had written with the understanding that if people die before Jesus returns, they miss out on heaven. And that may not have been exactly their question or their problem, but it kind of sounds like it. And we have the same kinds of questions today. What if, you know, what about my dad and my mom and what happens to them? And we worry. And so Paul answers that question with the words of Christ. And he answers with the assurance that all who are in Christ, be they living or dead, have hope in Christ. And so he went straight to the point. We don't want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, concerning those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve like the rest who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again in the same way through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. Now, have you ever been there? You're wondering, what happens to Dad? What happens to Grandpa? What's going to happen to me? When I think of these questions, I think of little kids. Sometimes they come and say, where did I come from? And they don't mean how did I, you know, was I born? But what they're saying is, 10 years ago I wasn't here, and now I am. How weird is that? You ever thought about that? There was a time when you weren't, and then you are. And so when we reach the end of this life, will it be that kind of change? What's it like? Well, when your kids ask you questions, where's Grandpa going? How about Grandma? They need words that are true and aren't just wishful thinking. They know Grandpa. For sure they know Mom and Dad are sinners. They knew Grandpa was a sinner, and what hope is there for sinners? Grandpa, sometimes he swore. What hope is there for the profane? Uncle Joe sometimes had too much to drink. What hope is there for him? And sometimes he was mean. And Grandma Smith, even though she apologized, the fact is too often she gossiped. Now they're gone. What hope is there for sinners? And the words that we usually hear aren't really very helpful. They're usually devoid of reality. Saying of Uncle Joe, that's the mean one, oh, he had a heart of gold. Yeah. Or of Grandma the gossip, well, she was good inside once you got to know her. Or of Aunt Jane, who, she was a believer, but sometimes she was a curmudgeon. And the best thing you can say is she attended Sunday school as a child, or he was an honest guy who worked hard. This is all pretending. I know lots of wonderful people, so do you. And the most wonderful people are the people who would say that they've done much less good than they should have, and much more wrong than they should have. And the one who really counts settles it. He says, there's no one righteous, not even one, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. That's in Romans 3. So the most important words that Jesus gives us are the words that tell us where, for us sinners, hope is to be found. And it's to be found in these two things: in the atonement, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and in his gift of faith. For he says in our text, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, in the same way, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. So our hope isn't based on wishful thinking that Grandpa never did anything wrong. Our hope is based upon something that's actually taken place in space and time, that God became man, and that he died as a ransom payment for Grandpa's profanity and for all of the sins of mankind, and he rose again so that in Christ God declares you innocent. He declares you righteous. He conquered sin and death. And he's risen to glory to live in glory forever. He is, as the hymn writers love to say, he is the death of death. And so our hope is based first upon the fact that he has purchased innocence for you. And it's based secondly upon the fact that that innocence becomes ours by faith. The fact that we, or those whom we love, as the case may be, live and die in him, and that means we live and die in faith. We live spiritually alive, and we die still alive spiritually. The fact that we live in Christ means we live in faith. It means we live under the grace of God and possess a righteousness that counts with God. My righteousness doesn't measure up. I'm given the righteousness of Christ, and so are you. And that's what counts with him. Paul said that in Romans 3. But now, apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. The righteousness of God is through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. God presented him as an atoning sacrifice in his blood, received through faith. So the good news of hope, the good words of hope, are that Christ has won his innocence for you. And when I proclaim your forgiveness to you, it is really and truly given to you, and really is yours by faith. So Grandma and Grandpa and Uncle Joe and Aunt Jane, they're not acceptable to God because they're sinless, but because by faith they bear the righteousness of Christ, who triumphed over sin and death for them in their place. Christ atoned for their sins and our sins, and gave them forgiveness, and he gives you forgiveness through his word and promises. Think about how important our confession is. That is, when we speak of what we believe, because that reveals the faith in our hearts to others. Isn't it wonderful when Grandpa and Grandma and Uncle Joe and Aunt Jane say, I know I'm a sinner, but I know I have forgiveness in Christ. They speak back those words of hope that have been given to them, and that's an encouragement to us as well. What is the source of grief and sorrow to the world? What's a source of hopelessness to the world? It's grief. I miss Grandma, I miss Dad, I miss Mom. But it's grief tempered with hope for us. And it's grief tempered with the triumph of life over death that we see in Jesus Christ. And that's what Paul is assuring those Thessalonians of. He says, for we say this to you by a word from the Lord. So Paul's saying that this isn't just what he is inspired to say, but this is God's word to him for you. We who are still alive at the Lord's coming will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the archangel's voice, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are still alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So you need to know, when this world ends, maybe we'll be like those who come down and enjoy the triumph of the resurrection. Maybe we will be alive when the Lord comes again, and be like those who are changed. But whether we are living on this earth or living in the heavens at the time, we will meet together with those whom we love, with the Lord, and so always be with him. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Amen. And now the peace of God that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.